This morning we're in Romans chapter 15. We're in a series called the Romans Road Trip. If you're new here, maybe you're visiting with your mom, whatever. We're coming to the end of it. So this is our second to last week. And next week is Romans chapter 16. And I talked to God a lot this week, like, man, God, why couldn't this have worked out a little bit better? I wish that I was doing Romans 16 now, because he wraps up the letter, and you're going to love next week. He just wraps up the letter like thanking all these people. And he thanks like 27 people, and 9 of them are women. Just in a culture, like then in that culture, that degraded women, literally women had no rights, were not even sometimes seen as humans. The church elevated them, right? I was like, man, God, I wish that was today. I wish it was a Mother's Day passage today. And so I felt like God said, look harder. So when I read it again, the verses were in. I was just amazed that, like, it's not about moms, but there's so many themes in this that resonate with moms. We're in chapter 15, starting in verse 23, just to get us caught up to this point. Remember, last week, Paul had said that his whole ambition, the entire reason for living, was to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. That he didn't want to just go build on someone else's foundation. He wanted to go to the places that nobody had ever heard of Jesus and preach the gospel there. And that he had been hindered to come to see the people in Rome because of that. He's like, look, you don't need me yet. I'm going to go where I'm needed. And then we pick it up here in verse 23. He says, but now that there's no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings. They owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received the contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure and the blessing of Christ. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you while with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. God, come right now just for these few moments and help me to communicate clearly your word. I pray that you would encourage not just the moms in the room, but all of us. These themes are going to hit all of us. And that we would remember that you are faithful. You accomplish what you want to accomplish. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, so three things. First is the theme of sacrifice, right? Like, man, how many of you have seen your moms sacrifice for you over and over again, right? How they'll take the last of the food. They'll make sure that you get a bigger portion. They'll take a smaller portion. Paul talks about that. He talks about how these churches sacrificed. They literally, Macedonian church was a poor church, and that they sacrificed for an offering to the poor. And God was like, man, that's what women do. That's what mothers do. They sacrifice all the time. Hannah in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, she prayed for a son, and when God gave her a son, she gave that son back. She sacrificed. Mary, the mother of Jesus, what did she sacrifice, y'all? Everything. Reputation. Like, you know, people talked about her, and she sacrificed that so that she could be a vessel that would bear and raise God's son. I mean, moms, you give more than you get credit for, and we're thankful for that. What about sharing? Y'all ever had a mom tell you to share? A couple times, right? You see that when Paul's saying to the Gentiles and to the Jews, and I told you that his entire, and I'm flying through the first two points because I want to get to the third one. That's the one that God really put on my heart. His whole point was to get the Jews and Gentiles to come together, right? And so what he's saying is, listen, if the Gentiles have benefited spiritually, that we want to take, some of you need to give some physical offerings, and let's help them benefit from that as well. Like, let's bring these things together. Let's sacrifice. Let's share what God has given us. And that's what he's telling them when he says, I'm bringing this offering. And I thought about, there's Lydia in Acts chapter 16. She opened her home to Paul and his companions. How many of you have been impacted by the generosity and the hospitality of a mom? I know I have. Priscilla, who taught and hosted and invested her resources in the early church. And in Proverbs 31, you can just read the whole chapter. It talks about how this Proverbs 31 woman would open her arms to the poor and extend her hands to the needy. Moms, you are generous. You sacrifice. You share. And this is the one that God put on my heart. Y'all ever made plans that didn't work out? Have you ever prayed prayers that didn't get answered? All the time. Paul is talking about plans. I plan to come to Spain. I hope to see you on the way. Pray with me that I would be kept safe. And Paul was not kept safe. So if you've ever prayed a prayer that was not answered the way you thought it would be answered, you're in good company. Because I did some research. Acts chapter 21 to 26 explains what happened after the prayer that Paul asked the Romans to pray. He said, pray with me that I would be kept safe. Now, one reason why he prayed it, how many of you have ever sent somebody money electronically? Raise your hand. He couldn't do that. He had literal physical money on his person, taking it to the church to give it away. And so he was like, hey, y'all pray that God keeps me safe and I can get this money to the people that need it. And he did get the money there. But along the way, this is what happened when he asked him to pray that God would keep him safe. He was arrested. He was attacked by a mob. He was spared from being flogged at the last minute. Acts chapter 22, verse 25 says that as they were stretching him out to flog him, he happened to say, is this how you treat a Roman citizen? And they stopped, that stopped them from flogging him, but they were prepared to do it. I don't know if you've ever had enemies, ever had people that wanted to see you hurt? Acts chapter 23, verse 12 says this about Paul. That there were men who took a vow that they would not eat or drink until Paul was dead. So if you ever prayed like, hey, God, help, just keep me safe. That would not fall in the category of the answered prayer that you expected. Men that literally said, we won't eat or drink until you are dead. And he faced three different trials. So in our culture, in our language, he went to court three separate times in front of the most powerful people in that time. That was in answer to, would y'all please pray with me? And so God said, look, sometimes we pray things that don't get answered the way that we thought that they would, and there's nobody on the planet who does that more than moms. Moms, pray for things that don't get answered right away. My mom prayed that I would become a pastor. And you're like, well, that got answered because you're a pastor. It did, but there was a lot between that prayer and me becoming a pastor. And a lot of things that caused my mom a lot of pain and grief. There was a lot that still needs to get worked out of me, but that had to get worked out as God was answering that prayer. There were shouting matches on the porch with my dad, right? I've told some of you these stories. Like, I would literally stand toe-to-toe with my dad, and he would scream at me, and I would scream at him, and my mom would come out on the porch, as moms do, because blessed are the peacemakers, right? And she'd be like, why do y'all keep screaming? And I was like, because he won't listen. You know, like how us guys get so stubborn. And that's what I saw, but what I didn't see was how she would go back in her room later, and I'm sure just weep before the Lord, like, God, I've asked you to make Paul a pastor. I've asked you to watch over him, accomplish great things in his life, and what is he doing, God? And this is killing me. And it took me back to Luke chapter 2, verse 35. This is the third thing that moms have in common with this story. When the prophet looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the temple and said to her, "And a sword will pierce your soul." And as I was preparing this message, I mean, I get sacrifice and I get sharing, but that sword, the sword of unanswered prayer, the sword of plans that don't work out the way that you expect. And we can joke about that, like, yeah, we put together a plan to go on vacation, but we got a flat tire and we didn't plan for that to happen. But I'm talking about real plans. The kind in your soul that when things aren't working out like you thought they would and you feel that grief, that's what Paul experienced. Because the Bible says, it doesn't say he ever made it to Spain. Can I read what a commentator said, a theologian said? I found this from N.T. Wright. I just love the way he explains this. Paul's telling the Romans, "I hope to go to Spain. Pray with me that I can get to Spain. I want to go preach the gospel in Spain, and I hope to stop by and see you on the way." And this is what N.T. Wright writes about that. He said, "Did Paul ever get to Spain? There's no evidence that he did. But his desire to do so and the fact that he wrote Romans as part of the preparation for such a trip points out an extremely important lesson for all of us. Perhaps God sometimes allows us to dream dreams of what he wants us to do, not necessarily so that we can fulfill all of them, but so that we will take the first steps toward fulfilling them. And perhaps those first steps are in fact the key things that God actually wants us to do." Listen to what he says. "Paul may not have gotten to Spain. That didn't matter. The gospel got there anyway. What mattered then and has mattered in the whole history of the church is that as part of his plan to go to Spain, he wrote the book of Romans. We should never underestimate what God will do through things which we see as small steps. Simple obedience produces supernatural outcomes. The plan is to do this, and instead we end up doing this. And God has a way of working that back to what he always wanted the whole time." My heart this morning is, I feel the disappointment that comes when the plans don't work out, when the prayers don't seem to get answered. When we feel the hurt of watching, I mean, people that we love hurt, right? I remember I was afflicted with a thorn in the flesh when I was younger. It was called middle ear infections. Anybody here ever get ear infections? Aren't they the work of Satan? 100%. I mean, that pain would just crush me. I remember being at a Boy Scout camp, and I woke up at like 3 in the morning, and my right ear was just on fire, and it was everything hurt. Like, it hurt to breathe. And my troop master, bless his heart, had no idea what to do with me. Like, man up! You know, it's not happening, right? My ear is literally set on fire by hell. And so he took me home at 3:30 in the morning. He took me home. I remember knocking on the front door of my house because my parents were asleep. And my entire thought the entire time was, if I can just get to my mom, somehow my ear's magically going to be better. So I got to my mom, and, you know, Dad opened the door and went back to bed. Mom sat up with me the whole night. I just remember putting my head in her lap, and she just rocked my head, rocked back and forth. She just, like, rubbed my head. And you know what? You know what hurt the entire night? My ear. It didn't stop hurting. But I was different. Something about, like, being there with her. That presence, right? Man, but if I could go back now and ask my mom, hey, what was that night like for you? Well, she'd probably tell me I was tired. And I would have given anything to have taken your pain away. That's the sword that Mary felt. The sword of selfless love for a Savior. When he was born, and she knew something was special about Jesus, right? Because, I mean, shepherds showing up, wise men showing up. Like, she knew how the virgin birth, the whole deal. She knew this is not like other births. This baby is not like other babies. And as she grew in her awareness of what Jesus had come to do, can you picture her at the temple after they thought that they lost Jesus? That's crazy, right? To lose the Son of God. And then show up, and his answer, her question to her was, did you not know that I needed to be about my Father's business? Like, this is what I was made for. And as Mary grew in her awareness of that, I don't know what she pictured. I don't know what she hoped for, but I'm positive that crucifixion wasn't it. And as she lived and became aware of what her son was going to experience, come on, moms in the room, you don't have to raise your hand. I just nod your head. The pain we feel is sometimes greater than the pain our kids are going through because of how much you love, how much you pray for, how much you plan. You've got plans for your kids. You've got plans for people that you love. You have plans for your own life. And when they start to not work out, the Bible says that Mary had a sword pierce her soul. So I looked up the Greek word for sword because I was curious. I was kind of hoping it would be like a little needle. You know, like she just got pricked, like when they take your blood in your thumb. But it's a javelin. The word means javelin. I'm kind of glad they didn't put that in the Bible, right? They went with sword. But it literally means like a javelin is going to pierce your soul. Man, that's tough. And we have moms in the room right now. I know we have dads, and we got all kinds of people in the room that feel this. And I want to pray over all of you, but specifically on Mother's Day, now we got moms in a room that feel sometimes like a javelin has been thrust into their soul. And it's not because, I'm giving all the kids a break here, it's not because the kids are bad, right? It's just because they're moms. It's because you carry all that weight. You stand before God and you intercede for your children, for your spouse, for your loved ones. You have hopes and dreams and plans, and sometimes they don't happen the way that you thought that they would. But I want to encourage you today that they are happening. Paul never made it to Spain, but the good news did. And that was God's plan all along. And what you're praying for may not be happening the way you thought that it the way you thought that it would, but it's happening. The plans that you made are good plans, but he might have better ones. And I want to pray this morning over you the way Paul ends chapter 15 when he said, "The God of peace be with you all." I love that he said, "I hope to come to you and in your company be refreshed." I mean, we're going to get done with church in a few minutes, and then there's going to be a whole lot of eating going on, right? People are going to be hanging at tables together, maybe hanging out with your mom, calling your mom. There's going to be some refreshment going on in your soul. But I want to pray that the God of peace will be with you. That you got this, God, peace would settle in your soul. That the sword could be replaced with shalom. Man, y'all, isn't that what we want? Isn't that what you want for your mom? Isn't that what you want for yourself? Paul says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 30, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be received favorably by the Lord's people there, so that I can come with joy to you." Come with joy to you. When Wendy and I were serving in our first church, the church was set up like the big worship center had, it would seat like 700 people. I think there were 50 people that went to church there. And then we would meet downstairs in the basement, fellowship hall. And then like we'd have Sunday school down there, and you had to walk up these big flights of steps to get to the top. I remember sitting in Sunday school, and they called on a friend of ours to close in prayer. And I don't know how many of you are like good public prayers. Most people don't like to pray in public, and this story will make you not want to. But they called on him to pray, and so he started praying, and he got really, really tongue-tied. I'm going to use the word discombobulated because it's a fun word to say, but you could just tell as he was praying, he just got kind of panicky, and like he just didn't know what to say, and he just started saying words. And now, again, picture this. We're in Sunday school down here, and all we have to do is walk up steps to go to church. And his last thing was, and oh, God, I pray just help us have a good trip to church. And we're all like, a good trip? Like, we're just literally walking up steps. He just didn't know. He didn't know how to close it. He just had no idea what to do. And sometimes we pray for things that we don't even know why we pray for them. Like, God, keep us safe. God, help us have a great day. I mean, we just pray these things, and sometimes they're just like, we just say the words. So I don't want you to hear Paul saying, like, pray that I would be kept safe and think, well, there's no point in praying that. That's just a silly prayer. There aren't really any silly prayers. There are just people who feel silly praying them, right? And so let's ask God to do this. I want to encourage, I'm looking at a room full of people who I'm sure over your lifetime have prayed prayers that did not get answered. You have felt the sting of that disappointment. Like, what do I do with this? I can remember as, like, the mighty man of God, right? I can remember our kids would get sick, and we would just be like, God, please touch their bodies and heal them. Take this fever away and let them wake up in the morning and feel better. And we'd wake up in the morning, and their fever was worse. Like, have you felt that? Have you been there? And here's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to stop you from praying. He wants to stop you from asking. He wants to discourage moms from continuing to be like the widow who knocked on the door and said, I need help, and I'm not leaving until you open this door. And that's how I want to close this morning. I want to pray over those people. Maybe you're here as a mother, but maybe you're just here, right? You're like, man, that's where I'm at. I've been praying the same prayer forever. I've been asking God these plans that I felt like he gave me. I'm waiting for them to take place. I'm waiting for them to happen, and they're just not happening. And I feel a sword in my spirit, and I want to ask God to just remove the sword and replace it with his peace, his shalom. Oh, how do we end this? Prayer team, let's come up here, and the worship team's going to come, and they're gonna just lead a little bit. And now, why do we do this? We do this because at the end of last year, I felt like God just clearly told me this. Man, Paul, why do people come to church? And I said, clearly to hear me preach. And he was like, no, not necessarily. People come to church to experience the power of God. They come to church. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2:4 that I didn't come with wise words. And this morning some of you are like, clearly. But he said, I did come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, which means that when people would ask God to do things, he would do them. That they would say in that culture, in Corinth, a city full of idol worship, full of false gods everywhere, there was something about what happened when the people of God prayed that would demonstrate to those people, wait a second, maybe I'm following the wrong God. This is a little bit off topic. I'm just setting this up for our prayer team. I remember in India one time I was preaching in a church, and the pastor told me, he said, now listen, at the end of the service, make sure you call people to follow Jesus. And I'm like, I'm in India. This makes no sense. People won't come to church if they're not Christians. And I said, like, why would I do that? And he said, oh, because nobody in this room follows Jesus. They're all Hindus. But they come to church here because they know that when our people pray, things change in their life. We don't come with wise words. We come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So I can talk longer about the sword of disappointment in your soul, or I can stop talking and the people of God can pray and God can demonstrate his power. And he can begin to remove that and replace it with his peace and his shalom and his hope again. So, Father, as we just take a few moments at the end just to respond to your word, I pray you fix what I've botched. You communicate clearly where I have not. And my prayer more than anything all week long has been, man, you know that sting of disappointment. And I pray that as we respond and people come and receive prayer, that you would begin to replace that disappointment with a desire for you. Do what only you can. Demonstrate your power. In your name, Jesus.